Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, please, chapter 10. In the first part of Isaiah chapter 10, the Lord is speaking to a remnant group of people in Israel in view of the future, in their restoration, and he's reminding them of how he is going to deal with the enemies which have been fighting against them. But he has a word of encouragement as well as exhortation for them, and I would like you to notice it with me in verse 18. And he shall consume the glory of his forest. This is the results of the persecution against his people. They're going to lose so much, it seems. And of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. Verse 20 reads, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. I want you to notice that standard bearer. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 1, if you will, please. I want to notice some standard bearers in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 1. It's interesting that in Isaiah chapter 10, the word for fainteth is an interesting word. It means that they've just been pecked at so often, they just say, that's enough, I quit. Sometimes in our lives as believers, we just get pecked at so often. Some are liable to say, I quit. A standard bearer that says, I quit. When we turn to the book of Numbers, we're going to find God's people bearing standards. That is, carrying flags right at the forefront of the parade. We are standard bearers for our blessed God. And each of the standards we're going to be noticing are really upholding offices and glories of the person of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And we can't have any standard bearers saying, I quit. You, dear young sisters and dear young brethren, you're the new standard bearers. Some of us are older, we're still stumbling along, trying to hang on, all right, and hold it up. But you are the standard bearers. And God wants you to be able to see the glory of what you are bearing for His name and be encouraging you in it. It reminds me so much of the occasion when in 1992 I became a U.S. citizen. Margaret and I, we were standing in the courtroom with our hand on our chest and our left hand raised, and we were pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes. On the wall of that courtroom was an artist's interpretation of Iwo Jima. He had enlarged the picture a little. It was an old burned and broken Jeep. And there were some other helmets. And there was a gun. But there were the three men. One of them is stumbling and reaching for that banner. And I thought to myself as I stood there, repeating after that judge the Pledge of Allegiance, is that the price of commitment to this flag? Beloved, you and I have a banner. What's the price of commitment? Let us just seek to notice from the book of Numbers. First of all, in chapter 1, if you will, we'll just read two or three verses here in verse 2. Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Chapter 2, please. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. On the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nahshon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. Now we notice in verse 5 that Issachar, and in verse 7, Zebulun, they also camped by the standard of Judah. Verse 10 reads, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben. Verse 12 tells us Simeon, and verse 14 that Gad camped by the flag, the standard of Reuben. Verse 17 reads, then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward, with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place, by their standards. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim. And verse 20, Manasseh. And verse 22, Benjamin. They camped by the flag, the standard of Ephraim. And in verse 25, the standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side, by their armies. In verse 27, we have Asher. Verse 29, we have Naphtali and their captains. They camped by the standard of Dan. I just want to try and notice a little with you concerning the great purpose that God had in having four standards. Why not just one? It was one nation, 12 tribes, one nation under God. One standard, will it not do? No, says God, there's going to be four flags flying night and day. And upon these four flags are names and symbols. It's very interesting. You must turn to the book of Ezekiel to get the symbols. And on the flag of Judah, there is the head of a lion. And when we come to the flag of Reuben, it's the head of an ox. And when we come to the flag of Ephraim, it's the head of a man. And when you come to the flag of Dan, it's a flying eagle. Each of those symbols and each of those names are going to convey to us an honor and a glory that's singular to the person of the Lord Jesus, that God wants the world to see at all times. And He's committing into our trust, beloved, those who know Him as our Redeemer, as we read in Isaiah chapter 10, we can take the words that are intended for the remnant of Israel in a coming day in their restoration and their redemption. We can take them to ourselves. We're trusting in the Lord God, staying upon Him. We are standard bearers. So I trust that even with the truth that we've been listening to, we've had exhortation that touches our conscience, brethren. And indeed, I hope it will touch our consciences. And also our minds have been instructed, and our hearts. But I trust, dearly beloved, that if even as we close the meeting today, if I can but underline what you've been listening to, all of those blessed truths, all of those exhortations coming from the heart of God, they all have one thing in mind. God is saying, I want my son to be in the preeminence of which we've been hearing. I want him practically to be manifested towards the world of which you once formed a part, a testimony unto his name. And dearly beloved, I'd like to have my hand on that standard when he comes. He is coming. He will come to the air, calling the church home. Don't be a standard bearer who just says, I quit. We can't have any quitters. God is looking for men with their hand to the banner, and sisters as well. And we'll notice how that interprets. What does that mean? What is it going to mean for your life and for mine? We have 15 minutes, so I'm just going to go over three things with you. I want to notice the standards to commence with. Then the standard bearers, two things that God has to say about the standard bearers, and then the standards testimony. First of all, as we look at these standards, we're considering the person of the Lord Jesus, first of all, as my brother David has been bringing before us in preeminence. It's an interesting study to notice the tribe of Judah in the nation of Israel. When you move through the book of Numbers, seven times God is going to say, Judah first. Judah first. Judah is the tribe of the king. Judah has the lion's head. That is our blessed Lord in the sovereignty and majesty as King of Kings. And he is Lord of Lords. And that is what we are displaying. As you, dear younger sister, as you submit to the Lord wearing your head covering, in your silence in the assembly, you're upholding his banner because he has asked you to do that. He is giving to you the honor of upholding his lordship by your obedience to that. That's what makes it beautiful. It's not an inferiority. It's not a putting you into a second place. It is you upholding a banner. And dear sister, don't compromise it. That's what God, don't say I quit. Don't try to allow the pecking away of the flesh and the world and the compromise that the world gives. The world does not want you to make a commitment. They say that's a foolish manner of limitation in your life, making a commitment. You're sticking yourself there. Brethren, if we can stick ourselves there to uphold the banner of the lordship of our blessed Lord Jesus, younger sister, God has shown it so clearly, and older sister likewise, in his word, an assembly of God is not complete without sisters in their position and their display of obedience to lordship. Likewise, my beloved brethren, that is why it is a necessity, as we've been hearing, first for self-searching, and then for studying and understanding the doctrines, the truths of God's precious word, being able to see them in their right dispensational setting, which will give to us a grasp and of the claims of our blessed Lord, and then speaking them, living them, in exercise, in the meetings. That is the glory of showing lordship in the corporate character of testimony. And that's what's in view when we look at Numbers chapter 3. But we come to the second one. And the second one is the head of an ox. It is Reuben. The head of the ox, of course, is presenting the person of our Lord Jesus as the servant of Jehovah. That is an awesome thing. The word for ox that is used when you come to the offerings is a beautiful word. It's not just, well, an old ox. Go get an ox and make sure he has no spots on him. God says, I want the son of the herd. I love that, brethren. You know what God is saying? I want you to go through the herd and find the ox that you would like to have sire others so you'll have more like him. He says, that's the ox I want. God is looking at the unique and singular glories of his beloved son as he sees the son taking the place of the servant. Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself. He took upon him the form of a servant. Marvelous grace. And being found in likeness of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. And the idea of becoming obedient there is absolute obedience. He took all that was required in obedience. That's the truth of the servant. And therefore, we are to uphold that. What we're seeing is in the person of our Lord Jesus. He is the one who is the fulfiller of the will of God, the purposes of God. He wants us to uphold that honor, the honor of the singular glories of the perfect servant of Jehovah. That was one of the great reasons for the need of the teaching of the Galatian epistle. Because if our Lord Jesus had not perfected fully the work of redemption, the work of atonement, great propitiation, in order that there may be atonement for sinners, we find that then something must be added to that to either perfect it or to fill it out. No, says God, you hold up this banner. It's faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient one in his work and his accomplishment for God. Then there is the third banner that God says, I want you to have flying constantly. It's that of the man. And it's speaking of the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. Luke's Gospel, of course. Yes, and the Ephesian Epistle. In the Ephesian Epistle, you're going to read these words, the truth that's in Jesus. I love that statement. You see, it's looking at the man, Jesus, and the marvels of the virtues in their perfection, in their fullness, in their wisdom of application, in the knowledge of that gives to him and gives to his ministry the great work of effectiveness. Those virtues, that's the man. God says, I want you to uphold the sinlessness of that man. It is the very credential to mediatorial work, sinless. Likewise, to substitutionary work, a sinless man, born of a virgin. Mighty, necessary, and vital truth concerning the person of our blessed Redeemer, upholding those truths in a world that would compromise them and peck away at you and mock you in your schooling and where you will work, even politicians. Sad, brethren. Even our country makes us weep when we think of it. But upholding that banner of the wonder of the person of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, the man, the Son of Man, the man at God's right hand. And finally, we have Dan, and it is the eagle. And the idea of the eagle is what God will speak of twice otherwise in his word, in Isaiah on one occasion, and that is the eye of the eagle. It's the judge that is in view. Our Lord Jesus, even the name of Dan is, he is the judge. And that's the idea of the eagle. It's the heavenly judge. He is the one who is the judge of the quick and the dead. He is the judge of all mankind. He is the one who is sovereign in divine judgments. And so, beloved, we are looking at truth that is going to uphold the Lord Jesus. Now, let me point out how that's going to affect these people practically. First of all, we notice that those banners determined where they lived. And it determined their association with the tabernacle. That's what God had in mind. You see, he has a flag on all four sides. It's honoring to what's in the center. What is in that center? A miraculous cloud. No wind ever dissipated it. No storm ever changed its form. Miraculous cloud. And it's resting right over the ark. That ark which speaks of the person of the Lord Jesus. In his present glory, yet in the midst of his people. That cloud which speaks, as Isaiah interprets for us, of the divine person of the Holy Spirit. And perfect harmony with his presence and with his word. And that's what these flags are adorning. They're upholding that. They're associated with it. And brethren, doctrine and manner of life that upholds these honors that belong to our blessed Lord is all honoring to the presence of the Lord Jesus in the midst of his gathered people. That's one of the great purposes of it. Another purpose of it is it gave identity to the people. You remember when Balaam was on the ark, was on the mountain, pardon me, and he's looking down upon God's people. He was being paid to curse them. And one wonders if the devil isn't paying a lot of people today to try and curse and undermine the doctrines that we believe, brethren, which really, let me just say this kindly for your, I trust, encouragement for the younger people. Your faith depends upon the supernatural. The person of our Redeemer depends upon the supernatural. Our doctrines are proclaiming the supernatural. Your conversion is supernatural. You see, that's why it's so unwanted, unlogical to the world, illogical. They can't follow it with the human reasoning. We are making proclamation of that which is divine. That requires faith. And as we see the glories of the Lord Jesus, we respond to them in faith. That's upholding the banner. That's giving honor to that worthy name and to that glorious one. And that what gave identity to those people. And Balaam looked at that. He said, I can't curse that. I cannot. That is a divine pattern. They were camped. It's very beautiful for me to read this passage and notice how they moved as a parade. There was a very distinct order in their parade. First is Judah, the king. Judah means praise. Praising the king. Put them together, beloved. That should mark us and mark our assembly gatherings, mark our gospel preaching as the preeminence and praise of our blessed Lord. But right in the center of that parade, there is one article that stands out different from all the others. If you looked at all the things the men were carrying, and you looked at the wagons that were carrying these parts of the tabernacle, they're all covered with a hide. And interestingly, the word for hide there is blue tanned hide. There was just a blue tinge about all those hides. But right in the center, there was a blue cloth covering one article, the ark. Ah, brethren, that is our honor to take our place in regard to the assembly of God and its order. We are giving honor to the Lord in the midst. Let me notice another thing about its order. You have to read further in the book of Numbers, but you'll find this in the book of Numbers. God says, in groups of 50. Now, I believe that to be 50 families in a group. That was the order in which they marched. It wasn't helter-skelter. Everybody going along pulling their goats and making sure the old cow's coming with them. But that may have been so, but in order of 50s. Again, Balaam is amazed. He cannot understand what's going on here with 2 million plus people in groups of 50s, very orderly. You see, the order is giving honor to the one whom they are professing. Those four flags governed their order, and the ark in the midst was the honor of that order. Dearly beloved, in God's assemblies, be they 15 in number, or 10, or be they 50, or 150, the order is the same. And the simplicity, the inexplicable simplicity of that order would make men shake their heads and say, it can't work. You know what makes it work? The upholding of the banners. And the order of the people casts their praise upon the ark in the midst. Dearly beloved, young believer, we are gathered under the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in God's assembly. It is His name that we would uphold in our acknowledged weakness, but don't let go the banner, whatever you do. Two words are used for the banner bearers. One is the word captain, the other is the word prince. Now, the word for captain is an interesting word. It doesn't mean a captain in the army. The idea is he's a coach, like the coach of a team. You see, the coach is a person of experience. He knows through fault and the different failures of the plays, and he knows the ones that are going to work, and he's learned through experience how to put it together. That's what God is looking for with young men and young women, and older brethren and sisters, to understand that through success and failure, we have learned there is an order that is divine. Stick with it. Uphold that banner. That's what God is looking for. He says that's the kind of a man that's going to be carrying the banner. A man that can give counsel and be able to say, even our beloved overseers, and we have good overseers here in Jackson, for which we thank God, and we would respect them, and yours also, where you are attending. Remember that. They're upholding banners. their coaches. As we listen to their plays, we will win. That's what the point is being made. That's why he's bearing that banner. The second word is the word prince, and it has to do with reputation. Reputation, of course, comes from character. And God is looking for men and women of character whom he can trust to present the truths of that banner. Dear younger brother, that's why they ask you to open a Bible reading. They're wanting you to get into the Word of God about the person of your Lord and his truth. And as you're presenting it, your life is behind it. You're looking for men with reputation to be trusted that are going to go before the people of God, bearing the banners. That is the work of God. That is his will. Can I just notice as I close the beauty of these banners? There's a lion, brethren, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Our beloved Lord, in the majesty of his greatness. Will you read the Colossian epistle, dear younger brother? Right from chapter 1, the Spirit of God gives you a look at the lion. He speaks of him, as we've been hearing so ably this afternoon, as the firstborn, the first begotten, as well as the one in preeminence. And he establishes it. He puts his finger upon it. And he says, in all things, he shall have the preeminence. He must be first. Our Lord Jesus, in his lordship, in the majesty of his kingship, he must be first. First in our choices, but first in the reason for why we do what we are doing. Even in our activities, dearly beloved. Seat sore work. That's why a lot of you dear younger people are here. Your friends through seat sores. It's great. Keep at it. Keep that banner flying. He is the one whom we take before the world. He is our Lord. That's why we're there. That's why we're going to go down and yonder. I hope some of you will come here too. We've been working at it a little on our own, not as much as I used to, I guess because I got one bum leg, but we can get over him all right. Can keep going, but whatever you do, keep at it. Hold up that banner of our glorious Lord. And as we think of him as the true servant, we take example from him. We have heard of example. We watch him. Can I give you a little study in the Gospel of Mark? I'm not going to give you the detail of it, but I'm going to tell you that in every chapter, you're going to find a characteristic of a true servant of the Lord Jesus. Let me just give you an example in the first chapter. In the first chapter, it's a son who takes the place of a servant. That's the true spirit of a servant. He's a son. He doesn't have to do that. It could be his choice to do it. No. The son takes the place of the servant, and the servant has no choice of his own. That's a true servant. That's what we're upholding in the Lord Jesus. That is our example. It's the same with the man. When we look at the person of the Lord Jesus, be a man and be a lady. You understand what I mean? That is, be feminine. Be masculine. Stick with its purity, as we've been hearing, upholding that banner. I must close and notice with you, last of all, and I hope it will be our joy, brethren, when you come through the book of Numbers, God takes them to 10 different places. He stops them. And he shows them the order of setting up that tabernacle. And in every place, he puts the banner in the same spot. Keep in the right place, brother. Younger sister, don't quit. Banner bearers that say, I quit, have no place when it comes to that beautiful display of the honor of God. As men are trusted to uphold the banners of our blessed Lord. Until he comes, brethren, don't forget Iwo Jima. Put your hand to the flag. In the last breath of that dying man, He's reaching for the flag. God help us to be loyal to our blessed, worthy, glorious Lord till we see His face. Keep holding the banner of His glory. Keep in place in the parade. Let all your conduct, all your choices, all your manners reflect upon the ark in the center, for He is worthy, our blessed and glorious Lord.